Mr. Bob Carlisle.
This morning, I'm going to speak to you out of Psalms 119. We're going to go back and forth to different verses, but we are going to stay in Psalm 119. So once we get there, just leave your hand there, leave your Bible open, because this is one of those times where we're going to read several scriptures, but we're not actually going to go very far. There's a reason for this because of what I want to speak to you about today. I want to talk about the benefit of following God's law and what it really should mean to us and what it does for us. In Psalm 119, the word law is used 25 times. Testimonies is used 22 times. The way or precepts is used 35 times. Statutes is used 25 times. Commandments are used 22 times. Judgments 23 times, and the way or the word 39 times. An example would be, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. What we're really talking about here is God's personality. God's laws, God's testimonies, God's commandments are the personality of God. It's the way that he is and the way he wants you to be. It's important that we understand that we need to do them, and there are benefits for doing them. Now, there are the following benefits that I've listed that are clearly proven and talked about in Psalm 119. I'm only going to address the first two. I'm not going to call this a series like the one that we just had from my son-in-law, but you are going to hear from this book again throughout the year. Not consecutively every time, I'll mix things up, but I have probably five or six sermons to come from this one chapter out of this one book in the Bible. There's that much here for us to see. Some of the benefits, some of the blessings of keeping God's word: peace, power to resist sin, joy, understanding, strength, freedom, hope, comfort in suffering, no shame, reverence for God, a thankful heart, a worshipful heart, a clean life, and personal revival are all thoroughly discussed in just this one chapter. It's an amazing piece of writing that is in the Bible. One of the reasons I want to go through this, and I'm going to start with this story before we get into reading and start, we're going to cover peace and the power to resist sin today. One of the reasons I'd like to cover this is I would like to save you the discomfort. Remember, we talked about the last time I was here, we talked about, wouldn't it be great if we could read the Bible and see the mistakes that are made by other people and not have to repeat them ourselves in order to learn the lessons that the Bible has to teach us? Wouldn't it be nice just to read them and not go through the suffering that it took to teach Job what Job needed to learn? Well, today we're going to talk about peace and the power to resist sin, about being able to focus your mind on God and keeping your mind where it should be when you're in duress or you're in stress. The example I'm going to use today is myself, and I allowed something that I thought was really big to distract me. And it's interesting how it worked. I've been in business for 35 years. And in 35 years, I managed to not get sued for 32 years. And this has now gone by for almost a year ago. But for 2.5 years, I had this lawsuit hanging over my head. And I let it be more than it should have been. I'd never been sued. I didn't know what to expect. You know, the guy had this thing that he disagreed about on the automobile. I thought I had more than proven that what I had done was correct. Had it looked by professionals. They said everything was great. I thought I was exonerated and fine. Next thing you know, he wants $150, then $200, then $250,000 for a $15,000 part that we can debate over whether it's right or not. But the number scared me. The concept scared me. The thought of going into a court, I let it take my mind. I got to where when I went to pray, I would get down to pray and I'd ask God to help me with this situation. And then in my mind would start drifting. Well, if I'm in court and if we go to say this and go to say that, I need to make sure I don't say the right thing. God, help me to say the right thing. Help me to find the right people to it. Next thing you know, I just spent 30 minutes on my knees, and the entire time I was talking about this stupid lawsuit. And it went on and on. I got during the middle of the day when I'm normally thinking about you guys or my family or my grandkids or my wife or something we're going to do or where we're going for the feast. And I find myself during the day, usually if I'm doing something kind of tedious and monotonous in my business, I meditate on things and I talk to God. I found all of this time was starting to be occupied by the fear of this lawsuit and the preoccupancy of this stupid lawsuit. And then a second one was levied. And I just thought my world was going to come to an end. By this time, I've been, I don't know, 6 months or something in the first one. And the second one came up, and I thought, you know, 35 years, and this has never happened, and what do I do? And finally, it dawned on me, it doesn't really matter. The only thing that really matters is my relationship with God. It doesn't matter if they take my business. It doesn't matter if they take my home. It doesn't matter if they take everything I own. I'm still physically capable of working. I can go out and get a job and work for somebody else, and I can carry on. I needed to focus. And it's interesting because it was the second lawsuit, the second test, that finally brought that to my mind to understand whether God brought the second test or it just happened. I'm not saying God caused any of it, but the lesson for me that I can see was I wasn't focused enough on God. The benefits of following God's law, and we're going to read about that, is that you're focused on God's law. That's God's attitude, his mind, how he thinks, how he works, how he functions, how he wants you to think, work, and function. God doesn't stress about anything. God is waiting thousands of years for this plan to work out here on earth. God is in our lives and wants us to be part of his life. He wants us to focus on his law. He wants us to see how he thinks and not be worried about all the peripheral things around us. We can get distracted so easily. If I had just focused and stayed calm and spent a little more time evaluating the situation, I'd have realized that, in the first place, I've got insurance that's going to step up and defend me against these guys anyway. And if I'm not wrong, if I haven't done anything wrong, they're going to pay for the lawsuit and also pay anything else. So there's a chance here that I'm not going to lose anything, which is what happened in the end. But the 2.5 years it took to get from point A, which is our legal system, the way it functions, to the day before court, which is when both of them were settled within a day or two of court, was a 2.5 year being dragged through the mud. And after the first 6 months, and then the second one started, I began to realize, I cannot focus on this. It's taking everything away from me. It's taking my family. It's taking God. It's taking you, my congregation. It's derailing my entire life. I've got to focus on God. I've got to focus on the right things. And after being beat over the head with these two hammers, I like to think that I finally got a pretty good grip on this. And that's what I want to share with you today. I don't want you to get distracted by the maybe not necessarily mundane things. Maybe you have a severe health issue. Maybe you have A major financial issue that's in front of you. We have to stay focused. We have to stay focused. The only thing that's really important is our relationship with God. We're here for one reason only on this earth. This temporal life is to show God, as we're going to read, where our heart really, really is. Are we on the same page with God? Do we see his laws the way he does? Do we see his statutes and his desires the same way that he does? Because if we do, we're going to end up in his kingdom and have an eternal life. And if we do not, God is not going to make any more immortal beings that do not agree with his thought, concept, and ways. And that's what God's laws are. So many people we hear today talk about God's law and how heavy it is and difficult. And I love God's laws. It's what tells me how God thinks, how he functions, what he wants for me, what he expects from me. You look at the Ten Commandments. I'll never forget the day that in Worldwide, they showed the video of Mr. Takachino, and basically threw the Ten Commandments and the law and the Sabbath and everything out the window. And I remember someone standing next to me saying, wow, that just lifts so much weight off my shoulders. Don't you just feel so relaxed and relieved? And I looked at her and I said, I'm sorry. Which of God's commandments did you think were grievous? Don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat. I don't want those things done to me, and I don't want to do them to somebody else. The Sabbath? I am happy God makes me stop and keep the Sabbath. I want the Sabbath because I'm an idiot. I'd work every day of the week. I really would. I'm a workaholic. Ask my wife. I would be working every Sabbath. Because you can make more money on the Sabbath than any other day of the week. 2 to 1 in my industry. I can make twice to three times as much money on Saturday as I can during the week. And I'm stupid. I would do it. I don't find God's laws grievous. I can't think of a single commandment that God has. Even if you go back to the old statutes in the Old Testament. If you've got a bull and it's dangerous and it's hurt somebody, then you're going to pay that penalty. You're going to be hurt too. What's unfair about that? You have a dangerous dog, contain it. Isn't that fair? I like that idea. That's the way I want to be treated. We need to understand that God's laws are not penalties. They're not grievous. They're not hard. They are the mindset of God. They're the way God thinks, and they're the way God wants us to think. If we focus on God's laws and putting them in our heart and understanding them and applying them, there are multiple blessings that God is going to pour out on us. And one of them is being able to stay focused on what's real. And for those first few months, I lost focus. I wasn't as focused as I should have been. But once I realized it, my life calmed down. My relationship with my wife was better. My family better. I could prepare for sermons better. I would get on my knees and pray, and I'd say, God, we've got this thing with a lawsuit. You know what needs to happen? Please take care of it. That was it. 5 seconds. Somewhere in my prayer, I would mention it for 5 seconds. And I never went into detail ever again. And it took till the last day or the last week with either one of them, and they got handled. God took care of it. But it was to the last minute. It was a test of endurance, as many things are. But God took care of it. But I want us to be able to stay focused. So, we're in Psalm 119. And we're going to move around a little bit. Let's start in verse 165. Psalm 119 and verse 165. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. You see what just happened? If you look at God's law and you understand what it is, and you understand that that's God's mind and it's how he works and how he thinks, and you love his law and you take it to heart and apply it, and try to keep it, what happens? Nothing can cause you to stumble. I lost sight of that, and I stumbled. And God picked me up and dusted me off and helped me understand it and see it. And that's what I want to share with you today. Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. So, if you keep God's commandments, what is the reward? Salvation. If you learn to think like God and you learn to look at God's laws and apply them in your life and take them into your heart, and it becomes part of your modus operandi, part of your psyche, how you function, God is going to give you salvation. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. God sees everything we do for what it really is. He says, you see my ways. God sees everything. If you're doing your best to apply and understand God's truths and God's commandments, he is going to bless you. He's going to give you peace of mind. And he's going to help keep you focused. And eventually, you will receive eternal life. Let's go over to verse 101. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. We have God's Holy Spirit. God, there's a part of God in us. Jesus Christ and God, there is a part of them. That Holy Spirit is in us. It gives us understanding, it gives us protection, and it helps us to restrain how we function and what we do, and not just go astray. And when it says go astray, I look at that now after this particular test, and I think, okay, this is not talking about just lying and cheating on your income taxes. It isn't talking about being at work and fudging something on a docket or a ticket or something that you really shouldn't do. It's talking about how you perceive God and how God perceives you and what's really going on in your life, because God can see that. The whole concept of our life on earth is to develop a close one-to-one relationship with God Almighty and Jesus Christ. And keeping his judgments, they're not grievous. They're easy. They're good. And they're the way God thinks. They're the way we need to learn to think. Let's go backwards to verse 11. We're still in 119. It's where we're going to be the rest of this message. And where was I? Verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart. Your word, meaning your commandments, your law, your testimonies. Your word, your truth, the way you think, is in my heart. This is David. David was a man after God's own heart. David did some really, really ugly things in his life. He had someone murdered. He did some very serious mistakes. But God said he's a man after my own heart. That's because David repented. And when he went to learn God's law, when God told him things, he took it to heart and he applied it. He says, it's in my heart. There's another place in Psalms where he tells God, examine my heart. Look inside me. Look inside my soul and in my heart. And judge me by what you find in my heart. That's confidence. That's really knowing your relationship with God. And that's the way that he talked. That I might not sin against you. So, your word I put in my heart, the advantage of it, that I might not sin against you. If you're thinking like God, and if you're thinking of God's laws, and if you're thinking the way God thinks, it helps steer you away from doing things that are wrong or thinking things are wrong. If you're thinking about what's going to happen when Christ returns and how we're going to deal with it and the problems are going to happen and God's laws that will be applied to people on the earth and all these, your mind is working on the things of God. Your mind is on the same plans and thoughts that God is going through. You're not going to be thinking about something you shouldn't be thinking of. You see what happens here? If you occupy your mind with the right things, there isn't room for the wrong things. You don't lose focus. This is all about focus. We need to be focused on God, and one of the ways to do that is to focus on his commandments and his precepts and laws. Let's go up and read verse 1 through 3. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. So, you're going to be blessed if you keep God's laws. You're going to be blessed if you keep his testimonies. And if you keep them and put them in your heart and make them part of the way you think, then it will keep you from committing iniquity against God. If your mind's focused on the right, then you won't be thinking about the wrong. That's the concept. Let's go to verse 16. I will delight myself in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. It's enjoyable. It says, I will delight in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. If we keep God in our mind, if we think about the way things should be instead of the way they are. See, the problem is we live in Satan's world. So we're surrounded by people that are trying to steal from us, trying to cheat our wages, trying to make illegal deals or wrong deals, buying or selling parts. I mean, I am confronted on a daily basis with an absolute onslaught of people wanting to do things wrong and lie and cheat and steal. And it's difficult to function in. It's hard when somebody comes in and does something. They go to make a delivery, let's say. And this has happened. You paid for 100 of these, but I gave you 120. And the business doesn't know it. I snuck them out. They're there because I want to keep your business. I want to be your man. I don't want 20 of them stolen. Now, here's the dilemma. The salesman has already written the ticket. What do we do with the other 20? If I hand them back to him, they're in his truck when he goes back to the shop. They're going to see him. Where did the 20 come from? Now he's on the spot because he's a liar and dishonest. And you don't want to be dishonest too. So that puts him on the spot. It puts you on the spot and puts you against. You can spend the rest of the day wasting your mind worrying about, because this is a vendor that you need. See, I have 70 different vendors I buy from. I basically need them all. One makes glass, one makes chrome, one makes rubber. I'm in a little tiny niche market. When you start talking 1948 to 1956 Ford truck parts, there's not a big availability of anything. You know, every week I'm faced with something that is no longer made. Windshield wiper motors became unavailable a month ago. I had to go out and find someplace to buy motors, redrill them, alter them, make plates, make a way to bolt them in the trucks, because you got to have windshield wipers, it's a law, and you need them to see. But some of these people I buy these from things from, they're the only one that makes them. So if I get a salesman who comes to me and does a dishonest deal, and then I turn him down, I've insulted him. He may not want to do business with me. And even if I contact his business and tell him what he did, you know what's going to happen? He's going to go back. They're going to pat him on the back, say, I appreciate you trying to get this, but don't try that hard. And by the way, this guy's a jerk and called back, and we want to deal with him anyway. I'll probably get the short end either direction. The bad part is I'll spend half a day distracted by it. That's what we want to avoid. The thing to think about is I'm going to be happy when it's God's kingdom and when... And I do not expect the millennium to fix itself overnight. I'm not that naive. I'm looking for probably 3 to 5 generations till it looks pretty good. But eventually, when Christ returns and we repeat God's law to these people over and over and over and beat them over the head with it for 100 years, hopefully the time will come around that business transactions and people act in a forthright and good way, the way God intended. That's what we want. That's what we're after. That would be so much more pleasant way to do business. People actually come to work on time. do an honest job. Don't break something and then not tell you and let the vehicle go out with a broken part on it so you're open to a lawsuit or somebody getting injured or ruining your good name in the industry. Real work by real people, honestly, nobody cheating, everything up front, everything straightforward. I can't imagine how beautiful it's going to be. Because right now, it's everything the other way direction. And we're all out there. All of you are out there. You see this every day. In one direction or another, one piece of it or another. We can't let it distract our minds, though. We have to stay focused on the goal. The goal is a relationship with God and learning to think like God does. And God's laws and God's precepts and his judgments and testimonies are just little ways of saying God's mind, how God functions. It's what we should love about God. That God wants honesty and fairness from everything and everybody. Let's go to verse 23. Princes also sit and speak against me. Your servant meditates on your statutes. But your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. People say and do things against you. Problems with people at work. I own the business. Do not think that that means I don't have to deal with employee problems because they fight with each other. I actually give a speech, same speech I've given for 35 years, and in that speech that I say verbatim, word for word, I actually say that at this business, you are to play pretty with each other. You will get along or I will fire you. And if you are not getting along with somebody and I see it, I will set the two of you down like 12-year-olds and I will say, what's going on? And I will call a judgment. And if you don't like it or if you both don't like it, you're unemployed. I don't tolerate backbiting, fighting, arguing, but it's inevitable. I cannot tell you how many times I've hauled two grown adults into my office, throwing hammers across the room and throwing little tantrums and all this over nothing. It'll be so nice when everybody's focused on doing what's right, treating each other in a right way, in a positive way, trying to help one another and stay in a positive mental attitude, and wanting to work things out. If there's a problem, if you both want to resolve a problem and there's a problem, you can resolve the problem. Conflict resolution is easy if both parties want to resolve. If one of them does not, then you have a problem. Then you have a problem. In one of the lawsuits, one of the guys that was suing me refused to talk to a mediator. He said, I'm going all the way to court. I don't want to resolve this. I don't want to mediate this. I don't want to talk to anybody. I want to get in front of a judge, and I want this thing heard. And God really, really blessed me. The day of court came. I was not there because the first day of court is just two attorneys bickering back and forth, and he said I didn't need to be there for this. And the Riverside court system, all court systems I imagine all over the United States, but Riverside is one of them, is really overburdened because of the desire of everybody to sue everybody in California. California is the worst mediation state in the United States. There are more lawsuits per capita here than any other state in the union. And they went before the judge and he said, I'm looking at the documentation and you guys have not seen a mediator. And the guy jumped up and yelled and hollered, I'm not going to sit down. I'm just going to go blah, blah, blah. No. You have to go see a mediator first. Or you will not enter a courtroom in Riverside County. Oh. So they assigned a mediator. God assigned a mediator. The mediator owned a hot rod business just like mine. In Hawaii for 3 decades. And he got this man in a room with my attorney. Now, I'm not even there, which was a good thing. Because if I'd have been there, the man was so hostile, he probably would have just vapor locked anyway. But the guy just told him, he says, you're out of your mind. You're suing for $250,000. You're complaining about a $15,000 part that he has one of the most respected industry people on the entire West Coast examine and said it's flawless. It's equivalent to a brand new automobile. He straightened and built this frame equivalent to a brand new car. The most you could even hope for is $15,000 maximum. Where you came up with $250,000, I got no idea, but you're out of your mind. So the insurance company stepped up, they settled it. Bam, was done. They called me and said, it's over, we're through. Whew. I was at a family wedding that I was going to have to drive back all night long to be in court the next day. I'm in Arizona. And we're there at the wedding, and I'm looking at my watch thinking, oh, I got to go back and pack. We got to drive home. I got to be in court the next morning. And, wow, it's over. And he was the worst of the two. He was the most antagonistic of the two. And God just fixed it. But imagine if people wanted to resolve always. Imagine if everybody wanted to resolve. Imagine going to work with people that had the same mindset as you. And if there was a misunderstanding, if something did happen, someone came up to you and said, you know, I didn't mean to spill paint on your tools. I'm really sorry. Well, now what do you say? You say, it's okay, no big deal. I'll clean them up. Or, you know, I appreciate you saying that. Then you clean the tools up. If you really want to resolve, then you're going to take the time to clean the man's tools up, aren't you? It can be so easy. But everybody wants to have this hard-headed attitude that's not God's way. And that's what makes it all so difficult. Let's go to verse 35. Verse 35. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in them. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. If you're focused on God's laws and you're focused on what God's focused on, you're not worried about whether or not you have a Cadillac. You're not worried about whether the neighbor does, how big your house is. These are all temporal things. If you're focused on the right thing, and they're enjoyable to have. I drive a hot rod. It costs a lot of money to build. More than a Cadillac. I enjoy driving it. I don't deny that. But we can't let something like that be our main focus. It's okay to have nice things. It's okay to have a nice meal. It's okay to have a nice home. Don't make it your God. And that's what this is saying. You know, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Help me remember and be focused that I need to think like you. I need to remember like you. I need to set things in priority in my mind like you have. The more we strive to put God in our heart, the more we think like God, the more peaceful our lives will be. And it'll help us to stay focused and not take our eye off the ring. Not take your eye off that little brass ring. I haven't seen one of those in a long time, but when I was a kid in Santa Cruz, there was a merry-go-round that had a little brass ring you could grab when you went by. That was the goal. Let's go to verse 36, 37. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. In other words, God, help me be focused on what I should be focused on. Establish your word in your servant, who is devoted to fearing you. We need to be devoted to God, and if we are, our mind will be focused. Turn away my reproach from which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. When I slip, revive me. Bring me back. I lost focus. And it really was difficult. I cannot explain to you when you lose control and you let something just get you so flustered. It was so consuming. And I finally realized, wait a minute, wait, stop. Because someone said something to me, who's not in the church, And this topic came up. He said, well, what's the worst that can happen? Well, the reality is, it's the most I think he could probably get is $15,000, $20,000. I mean, he's asking for $250,000, but I mean, the reality, we stand in front of a judge, a real judge, and this has got to come down somewhere near reality, right? I mean, that's what I'm hoping for. I said, at worst, $250,000, my business couldn't take the hit. I'd lose my business. And I thought about that. I thought, you know what? This is not worth my relationship with God and messing with my prayer life and everything else and what I think about all day. I have lost focus here. The worst that can happen is I lose my business. And really, the worst that probably would happen is $15,000 or $20,000. Put it on a credit card and pay it off and move on if your insurance doesn't cover it. And I put it away and I left it in God's hands. And as soon as I did, my life became so much easier. It's so much easier to think about God and focus on God and the positive way that God thinks and the positive things that God has for us to think about and look forward to than worry about some silly little mundane thing that we deal with in this life. So let's look verse 47. We'll read just a couple more. And I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Why should we love God's commandments? Like I've been saying, because they're beautiful. It's God. It's his mind. It's how he functions. It's how he wants you to think and he wants you to function. And one day, God is going to expect us to take his commandments and statutes and laws and apply them to the entire world. And the time will come eventually. Now, 90% of the world, if we understand things correctly, is going to be destroyed by the time Christ returns. So we're left with 10, 15, 20%, whatever it is. Initially, that's what we start with. And we'll have our hands full. And then, eventually, there's going to be a 100-year period. Now, where it is and exactly how and details, I don't have. But I'm telling you what, it's in there. And every person that's ever lived, which is the majority of mankind, is going to be resurrected. And we're going to have 100 years to educate billions of people from ground zero. The majority of these people will never even have heard the name Jesus Christ or God. Learning these laws, the simple laws of God, the simple way that God thinks, love, compassion, grace, caring for one another, helping one another, these are the concepts that we're going to have to pass on to this world and eventually to the entirety of all mankind that has ever lived. And it all comes back to God's commands and his statutes and his testimonies. It's God's mind. It's how he thinks. It's how he works. It's how he wants us to think and work and how he wants to us to apply things in our lives. And it's the way that he wants us to function. And if we stay focused and we focus on the way God thinks, he's going to bless us. He's going to protect us. He's going to help us not to stumble. And he's going to direct us into his kingdom.